This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Xiaoning and Chuang. Now, in about half an hour, we're going to be having the breakfast grill where Noel speaks to Dr. Daniel Susskind, a fellow in economics at Oxford University.
So he teaches at Balliol at Oxford, and he's the author of A World Without Work, and a novel which helps us understand what the future would look like when jobs, not if, when jobs are replaced by machines and there's going to be massive unemployment and income inequality. So I think this is a grill for everybody to listen to, because as Andy Grove once said, evolve or perish.
How true. But in the meantime, we're also going to be continuing this conversation about, you know, the world after COVID-19. And that's because the global financial services group Nomura released a report last week titled The World After COVID-19. And it explores global issues brought about by the pandemic and how certain key themes will play out. So some of the findings highlighted a vacuum in global leadership, surprise, surprise, continued tense US-China relations, unconventional monetary policies to be the new normal, and whether emerging markets faces a more challenging medium-term outlook.
So obviously it's going to be impossible to cover all the listed themes. We're going to focus instead on two issues, mainly the danger of a global food crisis in coming years and how COVID-19 could actually be the unifying factor in efforts to tackle climate change.
So joining us this morning on the line is Rob Subbaraman, the Nomura Head of Global Research and also the Co-Head of Global Markets Research. Now, thanks for joining us, Rob. The Nomura report, World After COVID, paints a rather somber picture of the new normal. So what are the short-term pains we might face?
Well, in the short term, I think it's the case that we're in a very deep recession that is leading to high unemployment and a lot of small businesses that are on the brink of bankruptcy.
Yeah, but equally, Rob, you also say that some positives could emerge from the virus, in particular, a more dynamic private sector and productivity renaissance. How would this play out?
Winston Churchill once said, never let a good crisis go to waste. And so, yes, you're right. I think in the longer term, there could be some positives from this. I think one positive is around climate change. I think this health crisis is really showing the power of nature and is going to be uniting businesses, households, governments to tackle climate change. I think a productivity renaissance is possible. I think often when you get a big cleansing of economies, and so a lot of businesses that have failed, it leads to new companies and new sectors, and that can drive productivity upward. Income inequality, I think there's a good chance it is going to get worse, but it also means that it could be addressed, and I think that could be very positive in the medium term.
Now, Rob, going back to what you said about climate change, the question is, with, you know, with this current low oil price environment and governments feeling the fiscal pinch, will there be any impetus to look at renewable energy or any green stimulus packages, as these projects actually might cost more?
I think so. Right now, governments around the world are embarking on fiscal stimulus packages on a massive scale, a scale we typically only witness during times of war. So I think this is a once-in-a-generation opportunity for them to really mold them into packages that also support tackling climate change. So a lot of green infrastructure projects, a lot of projects that incentivize companies to reduce their carbon footprint. There's going to be a lot of unemployment. These people that lose their jobs, they could potentially be re-employed in areas that support creating a greener planet as well.
Rob, one key takeaway from the report was the warning of a potential food crisis. What's the basis of this rather pessimistic view? And with a surge in food prices, who would be the most affected?
One thing we're noticing is the agricultural sector has been hit very hard by this COVID crisis. There's been a drop in food sales. People aren't going to restaurants. And food prices are actually staying quite low on a global basis because of weak demand. And this means that farmers are facing lost revenues, lower profits, and that really reduces their incentive for investing in new machinery, fertilizers, pesticides. So the upshot of all this is with weak agricultural investment now, it's going to lower productivity in agriculture and in turn yield growth, and it raises the risk of plant and animal diseases in future years. So that's one important factor. I'd say another one is EM demand, which is the key driver of food prices, is very weak this year because of recession. But it will bounce back. And what we are noticing is that as EM demand bounces back, there's a growing demand not only for food, but higher protein food. And we know that that has multiplier effects because it takes, on average, 3 kilograms of grain and 16,000 liters of water to produce just 1 kilogram of beef. So there's some of the reasons why we think food prices are going to surge. Another one we talked about earlier was global warming. I mean, this is the single biggest factor affecting food supply is extreme weather events, droughts and floods, and that can also reduce food supply. So we think there's several reasons that could cause food prices to surge in 2021, 2022, and that will really hurt low-income countries.
Thanks, Rob. That was Rob Subbaraman, the Nomura Head of Global Research and Co-Head of Global Markets Research. Now, you know, it's a rather somber note, I think, that there's going to be a food crisis. But on the flip side, positively, if governments actually, you know, put their heads together and think, hey, this is a chance to do a reset, then maybe they will attack the issues brought on by climate change.
Well, that's an equally a narrative saying that right now we're seeing a shift in new world order, right, from the demise of the United States and the reserve currency towards Asia and towards the yuan renminbi, even a special drawing rights possibility. And if that's the case, then there's every possibility equally that the new emerging countries, it's not just China as well. It could be India, it could be Indonesia, it could be
hopefully
possibly
Malaysia.
On the fringe maybe, but you know, one of these countries will step in and then revise the whole way agriculture is done, even in terms of climate change. Who knows, right?
Who knows? But up next, we'll be speaking to Lawrence Todd, Head of Research and Developments at IDEAS, for an update on Shared Prosperity Vision 2030. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.